just share some thoughts. I'm not going to be bringing our message that we normally have on prayer. So I just wanted to share a passage of scripture or two with you and have a word of prayer for our nation and our world situation that's going on right now. And discuss a little bit about what's happening. I think everybody would like to share a little bit or something there. So I just want to change the service up and make it a little bit different here. But I want to start off with the Word of God. So if you'd open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And keep in mind that Sunday I had quoted a passage of Scripture from Proverbs 22 and verse 3. And the first part simply said, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself." And we talked about that word prudent means person that is sensible. And then also in just five chapters later in Proverbs 27:12, God moves upon Solomon to repeat that same verse word for word. He goes, again, he says, "The prudent man foreseeth the evil and he hideth himself." And then it goes on and says, but the simple pass on and they get in trouble, all right? And I'm not worried about that part of it, because I think I got prudent people. I think we got sensible people here tonight. God's people. If anybody ought to be sensible, it ought to be the people of God. Amen. I mean, I was talking with a dear brother the other day. I met him actually at Sam's Club. He was years ago a member at our church, and then had moved away. We're at another church, and I met him there. And he goes, "Man, this is my second day back at Sam's." He goes, "I was here Saturday, and at the end of the day, I was talking with the manager, and the manager at the Sam's Club at Bryant Irving said that they had record sales not just in the week or the month or the year, record sales, over $750,000 at that one store." And he says, "Brother Kevin," he goes, "as I was walking through everybody, it was packed." He goes, "You could see fear in their eyes." He goes, "People were being driven. They weren't being what we would consider sensible." And I'll tell you what, if you get trapped into that scene, that mindset, it will bring something in you that you'll have to guard against. I noticed that even when I was there with him, I only picked up some dog food and a couple of things. And as I'm walking, it's funny, people are looking to see what's in your cart. You know, it's like, this is my dog food, you know. But I think people start looking at each other's cars and say, "Hey, maybe I'm forgetting to get something that everybody else is grabbing," you know. We just need to be sensible. Matter of fact, I looked up the word prudent. It means sensible. The word sensible means wise in practical affairs, careful concerning the future. Some of the words that would be synonyms would be to be careful, to be cautious, to be reasonable, to be discerning. And this one was interesting, to be sane. That was one of them. You can get insane. You can see the insanity that's running a lot of times. And so God reminds us, and he just didn't say it once in Proverbs. He said it twice. We need to be sensible. Act sane, if you would, you know, in the midst of this. I'm not trying to downplay the situation or upplay it. I'm just saying God says we need to be sensible about the whole thing. Now, in Philippians chapter 4, I want you to notice a couple of things here, beginning with verse number 4. Notice what Paul says here, and I thought this was an appropriate text for our situation, because not a lot of people are rejoicing. And notice what he says. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to think for just a minute. How many of you know that passage of Scripture? Say amen. Amen. We've heard it. We've read it. We're familiar with it, and many of us could maybe quote it or most of it anyway. And sometimes we get so comfortable and familiar with passages of Scripture that haven't really been applied. So sometimes God permits things to arise so that the same scripture that we're so comfortable with is something that we begin to realize, this is taking on a little bit deeper meaning now. And sometimes God will permit things into our society, into our lives, to allow his word with the believer to take on a different angle, if you would. And so as we look at this, I want you to look at a couple. We're just going to take it a verse at a time and just do a word study. It's all we're going to do here. And in verse number 4, the first thing he tells us to do is to rejoice. As a matter of fact, he tells us to do it twice in that one verse. He says, rejoice, rejoice. The word rejoice here is in the Greek is a verb. All of you English experts, a verb is what? Action. It's a continual thing that should be happening. Now, I want you to notice, he says, rejoice in your circumstance, right? Is that what your King James Bible says? No, rejoice in your what's happening right now. It doesn't say that. It doesn't even mention what's happening around Paul. He says, your focus is on the Lord. He said, rejoice, be actively rejoicing in the Lord. And again, he says, I say, rejoice. He wants us to keep our eyes on him. Folks, the scriptures are for our comfort. The scriptures are for our encouragement. The scriptures are for our guidance on how we are to respond in life situations. They're practical. And here he tells us right off the bat, Paul is telling the believers at Philippi to rejoice, to be glad, to be filled with joy. In other words, it means to be thriving. And this thriving and this excitement and this joy isn't because there's a coronavirus, isn't because we're out of school for extra time. Right? I mean, if I was a school kid, I would be kind of glad that I had extra school out, you know? And, you know, we were talking about how I was on a family thing, you know, you get on family texting and everybody gets involved. Next thing you know, that thing texts all into the night sometimes, you know, and we're all talking about, and some of our nieces and stuff, they're graduating high school and they start talking about how sad it is that the seniors are going to have everything, no proms and no, you know, graduation, and they're going through all of those things because of, he goes, they're all going to look back and remember COVID-19 kept them from having that last year where they could not graduate, they couldn't enjoy the proms. And I told him, when I was in high school, the same thing happened to me. It was called ditching 76. And I ditched school and didn't graduate. And so I had the same thing. I had the same thing. You work yourself all through 12 years, and you get there, and they don't get to celebrate it. I didn't either. And but I want you to understand that Paul is trying to get our attention tonight while we're here as a church. He says, I want you to remember two things first. Rejoice in me. Again, I want to tell you, rejoice in me. He wants us to be actively glad in spite of what's happening. He wants us to be actively thriving in him. Then after we get this one down, I want you to understand this is a step. We're coming down a stair step, if you would, a staircase. He says, once you get this down, and evidently he knows that we needed to have it repeated twice. He didn't just say, rejoice in the Lord. He says here in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And he says, always, never stop, never cease. And then he says again, and again, I say rejoice. So listen, the next verses that we look at aren't going to matter if we don't get this one. It begins with the Lord, and it begins with rejoicing in him, not our situation. And I'll tell you what, it's a hard situation for everybody. It's changing everything. And he says, rejoice. Always, and again I say rejoice, but make your rejoicing in me. Then he goes on into verse 5. And once he gets that down for us, then the Holy Spirit says, Then let your moderation be made known unto all men. The word moderation here is very important because we're not seeing this happen in the way people are responding. The word moderation here means keep within reasonable limits. And so keeping in reasonable limits isn't going through with stacks of toilet paper. I mean, it's like somebody said, wait a minute, help me, correct me here. The symptoms is a fever, sore throat, and
sniffles.
Huh?
Sniffles.
Breathing.
Breathing, having a hard time breathing are the main three things. He goes, so why are we buying toilet paper, you know? And people are just funny. And we get to where we're acting insane instead of sane. We're not being sensible. But when we start rejoicing in God, then we can become moderate. We begin to be reasonable in our limits. It actually means to become balanced. And we need balanced Christians today. Things get out of balance in churches. Things get out of balance in a lot of things. You can take, we had a thing I did years ago. It was a hub. And it had just Jesus in the middle of the hub. And we had spokes like you would on a bicycle. And we had five spokes on it. And on this spoke here, we had worship. On this one here, we had ministry. On this one here, we had evangelism. On this one here, we had fellowship. This one here, we had discipleship. The five purposes of the church. And a lot of churches are soul-winning churches. A lot of churches go to that extreme, and they neglect discipleship. And some of them are very big on discipleship, but they neglect the proper worship. Or some are, we always get out of balance. And when you have, and by the way, all five of those are the will of God, and they should all be equal. So that if I have a strong evangelistic outreach, but I have a very small discipleship program, that will is going to go up and down, up and down. It's not balanced. God wants us as individuals, as well as a church, to be balanced Christians. The word moderation means keeping within reasonable limits. Being balanced, it means being conservative. Why? Why is this moderation important? It's coming, remember, it's coming down, filtered through rejoicing in the Lord. Our focus is on Him. We become balanced Christians. Why? Because He says the Lord is at hand. And that was several thousand years ago. What is Paul talking about? Was he off? Was he off saying that the Lord was at hand? No, when you look up the text here and study it out, when he uses the phrase the Lord is at hand, it means that he is near. And that word near, we would get our English word for it as imminent. Not immediately he's coming, but at any minute. Thus we must be ready. For thou knowest not when the hour when the Son of Man returns. So he's speaking of the imminency of Jesus Christ. Not that we can say Jesus Christ is coming real soon. We don't know when he's coming. He doesn't even know when he's coming. He's waiting for the Father as he sits at the right hand of the Father for him to say, my son, it's time. And the angel will sound the trumpets and will meet him in the air. It can happen at any, imminent means any minute. Any minute. So he says, be moderate, be reasonable. And by the way, it also has, it's interesting here, one of the synonyms for it was pleasant. I think when we are not moderate, I think we become unpleasant. So we have rejoicing in the Lord, we have being balanced or manifesting moderation in the Lord. Why? Because if I stockpile, the Lord's coming, it doesn't really matter anyway, you know. He says he's at hand. Be ready for him. He's near. He's near in place. He's near in position. Now, after he tells us in this area here to rejoice and to be moderate, for the Lord is at hand. And by the way, he said, let your moderation be known to all men. Let people see you living a balanced life. I saw a picture. It was for summertime 2020, coming to your yard sales soon, and people are selling toilet paper because they bought so much of it, you know, and you get it really. You know, we kind of laugh. I went online on Amazon. You got to go on Amazon and type up toilet paper. There was the highest one that was on there, no joke, $969 for one roll. And oh, was it a big pack? It was a big pack. $969 for a big pack. And you had to pay $15 for shipping. A lot of them were 99 cents a roll, which is not bad, but it was $14, $15 to have it shipped. That's not letting your moderation be known, made known to all men. A lot of people went out. You see what happens sometimes when God brings a, he did it with the Egyptians. When God sometimes brings a judgment, it's trying to draw people to repent and come to him. But sometimes it causes the wickedness of people to even to ignite more, and they become worse. And I think a lot of people went out and bought all this toilet paper so that they could try to scam off of everybody else, you know. Sorry. Right there.
Sears catalog, right?
So be careful. He says here, be moderate. And then in verse 6, look what he says. Then he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. I want you to notice that in verse 3, the Lord's there. Or verse 4, excuse me, the Lord is there. In verse 5, the Lord is there. In verse 6, it speaks about God. Verse 7 speaks about God. God is at the center of every one of these verses. He's the center of our rejoicing. He is the center of our moderation. And he's the center of our peace, if you would. Joy, moderation, peace. Those are all from God. Now, he tells us here, be careful for nothing. Now, he's not talking about being careful you don't hurt yourself or something like this. This is a different type of care. The word careful here, and you all know this means don't be anxious. Don't be troubled with cares. Remember he told Martha, thou art troubled about many things. She was full of care. And he warns against that. And by the way, the word careful here is a verb. Just like rejoice is a verb. If I'm rejoicing in the Lord, I will not be full of care. They just don't go together. You cannot be anxious about what's happening and rejoicing in God at the same time. They will not go together. That's why that first part has to be done by us. Then we'll bring about that area of being reasonable and pleasant and balanced, which will lead into a carefree life. Matter of fact, there's three types of care. You can be careful here, as it talks about, and then you can become careless, right, where you just are careless about your life. But then what he wants us to be here is carefree. We have liberty in Christ, folks. And he tells us, be careful for nothing. Let me ask you a question. Would the coronavirus, would it fall into the category of nothing, being careful for nothing? Is it something that God says, you don't have to be anxious about this? Hello, I'm asking a question. Would this virus, does God want you to become anxious about it? No. He's saying, don't. Don't. And again, I was talking with, trying to think who it was. It was a pastor. And he goes, you know what I've noticed? He goes, if I watch the news and I get so caught up where I'm focusing on what's going on all the time and checking everything out that people are posting, he goes, I catch myself becoming anxious. He goes, but if I don't do that and I spend more time just listening to Scripture being read to me or reading Scripture or reading a good book, he goes, it's not there. I'm not anxious anymore. You see, we can hinder ourselves. And I think he's telling us, be not, or be careful for nothing. Don't let yourself get caught up in this. I think we need to stay informed. I'm not saying not. But don't let this be your focus. The Lord must be our focus. He must be our rejoicing. Be careful for nothing. Then look what he says, but by prayer. This word prayer is talking about worshiping God, spending time worshiping. Now, if you are on your knees, even if you're at that level where it says, be still, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. You're not there talking with him. You're just spending time quietly, humbly, bowed before him because he's worthy. If you are simply worshiping God, that's what the word prayer, and then supplication is entreating God. Now we begin to entreat him, and then it ends with Thanksgiving, thanking him. If you're spending your time in this, you won't have time to be anxious. I mean, how could you be anxious when you're kneeling in the throne room of grace? And by the way, we get that way. The disciples had Jesus right there in the boat in the midst of their storm of life, and they were full of care, were they not? They were caught up in anxiety and fear. And I told Al the other day, how can you sit there and sleep in the boat full of water and not even be stirred? And yet, that's just how much the Lord says, I want you to just be like me. So he says, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious. Don't be troubled with cares. Spend time, when you start feeling that come on, worship the Lord. Entreat the Lord. Thank the Lord. Spend time in those three categories. And when that happens, now watch what's here. You have anxiety over here on this side that he says don't do. And then right in between, it's kind of like an Oreo cookie. Y'all like double stuffed Oreos? You got the cookie part here. And he's telling us, don't be careful. Don't get anxious. But if you'll double stuff this thing with, actually it's a triple stuff thing here. Worship and entreating and thanking me. Then verse 7 says, and then the peace of God. It started out with don't be anxious. And it ends with, if you do these things, you'll have peace. You'll have peace. It says the peace of God. And by the way, I like it. This says the peace of God because it shows where our peace originates at. It doesn't even come from each other. It comes from God, ultimately. And the peace of God. And I want you to notice here what the word peace means here. This is really kind of cool. When I looked it up here in the New Testament Greek, it means a state of, listen to this word, national tranquility. National tranquility. It means God's peace goes everywhere. It's available to anyone and everyone who wants it. It's a state of national tranquility. It is exempt from the rage and havoc around us, and it brings security, safety, and harmony. Now, what do you want to go through this? Do you want to go through this whole situation being anxious about everything? Or do you want to go through it with peace? And by the way, God tells us it's a peace of God that passes all understanding. And he says, because the peace of God in verse 7, look what he says here. It says, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and keep your minds. When we get excited and we let things get us going, we can't sleep because my mind won't stop, and we start building ourselves up and building it up and building it up. And so, well, okay, we need to quit talking about this. We're just getting ourselves worked up. And we'll wait a while and then we'll talk to it about it. Hey, yeah. I just saw this, you know. And we just need to spend more time with God and enjoy his peace. It says that his peace will keep. And by the way, this word keep is also a verb. So as you and I are continually rejoicing and continually being balanced in our Christian life and are continually making sure that we're not anxious, God says, I will continue to guard your heart. I will set, it's like setting a sentinel. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible tells us that God clothed them and then he took them. And as here's the end of the garden, here's where the Garden of Eden had an end somewhere, I guess, you know. And he walked them over to there and he put them out of the garden and says, you can't come back. And then he posted cherubims there with swords of fire that were flaming to keep them from coming back in, lest they would come back in and eat of the tree of life. And we would be living in this kind of a lifestyle forever. Wow, that would be terrible. You know, I don't know. I'm assuming that the Garden of Eden was guarded by God continually. He kept them. There was no way they were getting in. And it's the same term. He goes, I will guard your heart. As well as Adam and Eve never got back in, I'll make sure that peace will guard your heart from anxiety and fears coming in. But you got to do it my way. And you have to do it continually my way. And the moment we cease from doing it the way God was, then it will come in. It will come on us because we allow God. He talks about dropping our guard. We actually are dropping God's guard. And notice what it says. It will keep our hearts. That's the center. That's your emotions and your mind, your understanding, your way of thinking, your intellect. He says, I'll do all of that. Now, my wife reminded me as I was sharing this with her. She gets these messages from me before we ever get here. So I'm kind of preaching to her again. So she goes, well, you really have to continue on with verse 8. And I think, well, it's true. And then he says, finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. Those things that he wants us to think on are good and positive things. Our minds can get on some pretty negative stuff here. And he says, make sure you think on these things. So if you're sitting there one day at home and you're feeling not rejoicing in all these things, you need to think, what's my thought life right now? And go back, is it just? Is it pure? No. And we see that God offers the whole package is available to every one of us. Nobody here has a better option than anybody else. We all have the same God. This offers the same package that will bring the same glory to him and the same peace for us. But we have to be willing to begin by rejoicing, being reasonable, not being anxious, spending time worshiping, entreating, thanking, and then watch his peace come over you and begin to guard the thoughts that want to go off the heart of anxiety, and he'll get you focused on good things. When Paul was writing to the church in Romans 15, he says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I don't think he's just talking about believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. I think he's saying that you can have this in believing what I just told you in these verses. If you'll practice these things, if you'll believe these things and do them, he says the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace. It didn't say if things were going good. It didn't say anything about things, but it's now the God of hope. And then he says that ye may abound in hope through the power, listen, of the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Spirit within us, folks. We have the power of God within us. And he says, if you will believe in what we just instructed you in Philippians and truly rejoice. And I think that it's going to be harder for some of us. Some of us aren't very happy people usually, you know. Some people are more upbeat than others just because of their nature. But this has nothing to do with your nature. It says rejoice in the Lord. That's a command. I have to be willing to obey what my Lord said, which is a sign of my submission to him or my lack of submission. So people say, well, that's just not my personality. It isn't mine either. Actually, it's none of ours. This is a divine personality, which is the Holy Spirit of God. So none of us, I mean, if it had to do with personality, then we couldn't hope in it. If it had anything to do with us, we couldn't hope in it. But the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? Believing. Trusting what is written. You know, heaven and earth is going to pass away. He said, but my words shall not pass. Men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I wonder if we might take time and have a word of prayer. And I'm going to pray for our nation and our world today. And I just want you to join me in prayer in your heart. As I'm praying, you know, we're told in Scripture that the word amen means so be it. We are in agreement with what's being said. That's why when a preacher's preaching, if somebody agrees with what the pastor said from the Word, they say, amen, I agree with that. You're promoting God. Well, we can do the same thing when we're praying. And if somebody is praying, you can quietly in your own heart say, "Amen, Lord, so be it. Let that happen." And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll discuss some situations of what we're going to consider doing here as a church here concerning this situation for us. But let's go ahead and pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the promises we have as we've seen them this evening, Lord, in Philippians 4. But I also think of other passages like in Proverbs 18, Lord, where your name, you said, is a strong tower where the righteous can run, flee to, and be safe. Lord, we lift up this situation tonight as a people. We come together. There's many of us here, but we come as, with one heart and one spirit. You said in promise in your word that wherever two or three are in your midst, that you're with us. And so, Father, we would even ask that your Holy Spirit would direct this prayer, that it would come up as a sweet-smelling savor to thee, dear Father. And I pray, Lord, for those who, what we would consider on the front lines of this response, which would be any of the health officials, Lord, who are working, Lord, around the clock. Give them, Lord, the wisdom that they need, dear Father, to seek and create even a vaccine or an antidote, dear Father, to combat this virus. We pray, Lord, for any first responders in the medical field. I think how Effie was talking about how the hospitals were just overwhelmed. But we pray for these people who are working for the health and safety of others, dear Father, in the hospitals, in the clinics, in the emergency rooms, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that you would grant wisdom to our government leaders, not only here locally and nationally, but globally, dear Father. Throughout our world, I pray that they would do what's necessary to protect, dear Father, the citizens that they serve. I pray that your word, dear Father, would assure each one of us. You've told us that if any of us lack wisdom, that we can ask of you who gives to all men liberally. May they seek your direction. May they seek your counsel. May they seek thy face in prayer. Lord, we lift to you also our concern for perhaps people who are more likely than others to become severely ill because of this virus. I think of the elderly and the people with chronic health conditions, Lord, and pray that you would protect them, Lord, from harm. Help them to be, keep them at peace, dear Father, during this time of uncertainty. We ask, Father, that we would pray that you would just be with those that right now are have been affected, Lord, by this sickness, that you would help them to trust in you and to rest in those that are working on them, dear Father, during this time. I pray, Lord, that you would take away any and all fear and anxiety and feelings that people are having. Protect our families, protect our friends, Lord, and above all, we pray that you'd bring peace to all of those that we love and pray for. Pray, Lord, that you would help any that are being impacted even right now, Lord, at the financial situation that may be impending with businesses shutting. We pray, Lord, that you would supply their needs according to your riches and glory. We pray, Lord, for us to trust your word to get us through this time, to grow us, to lift us closer to you, our Savior. And may we remember, Lord, your greatness, that nothing is too hard for thee. And we pray, Lord, for a spirit of peace that would bring hope, dear Father, that would begin even perhaps here tonight, Lord, and spread through us, dear Father, and others, till it goes globally, Lord. May your people, Lord, who are called by your name, may we humble ourselves and pray. May we seek your face. May we turn from our wicked ways, dear Father, that we might see you heal our land in the midst of this crisis. And Lord, you said in your word that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we ask, Father, that you and you alone would use this to glorify thy name in ways that we don't see. May people, dear Father, be drawn to Jesus Christ. May they call upon him, dear Father, as their eternal Savior. And we would ask, Father, that you would just help bring great glory and honor and praise through all of this, dear Father. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ alone that we pray and ask these things. Amen and amen.